Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. My guest tonight is Madeline Deering, and I am going to be dialing her, and hopefully we will be talking to her soon. Should be dialing.
Hello?
Hello, Madeline?
Yes, that's me.
Oh, good, good. This
yes.
is Mac, and
Hi.
You can hear me okay?
Yes, I can. I felt like I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, like it's the phone a friend. I thought you have a question for me.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, and I can hear you, and that means that we're on the air, so that's all good, good stuff.
Okay, awesome.
And how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm okay, you know. SSDD, as I like to say.
Oh, same shit, different day. I got it. Yes.
Yeah.
Same here. Same here.
Well, I guess it just jumped right in. When did you first realize that you wanted to start getting into filmmaking?
Well, when I was a kid, I mean, I always loved going to the video stores, so I have a lot of memories of going to video store. I'm from upstate New York, a little town called Johnstown near Albany, about 45 minutes from Albany. So I loved running movies. They had Wacky Wednesdays. All movies were a dollar and like everything from the horror section. So I really got into horror and then kind of branched out of this other store called That Tape Place. And they had all these obscure, weird, you know, horror movies on tape. So I started running there, and I think after watching a few movies like Killer Nerd, The Toxic Avenger, I was like, well, I could do this. I want to do this. And yeah, that just love for film just really stayed with me over the years. So, and I remember like Nightmare on Elm Street on cable and all of that, and I was a huge Freddy Krueger fan. So, yeah.
I understand that. I am too.
Yeah, isn't everyone, you'd think, anyway.
Probably not everyone, but that's okay. Who cares?
exactly, yeah. He's always been my favorite slasher over Michael Myers and Jason, but I like Jason. So
yeah,
he's got personality. I saw Freddy vs. Jason in the theater in 2003 with my dad when I was, what, like 14, 15. That was like the greatest day of my life at the time.
I love that movie. I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, it's so much fun. And the fight between the killers, it's, I don't know what more people really wanted from it. It was a blast. I loved it.
It was. One of my favorite parts was when the sound going bing, bing, bing sounded like a video game.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just laughed.
Oh, yeah, they got campy after a while, and that's what I like. I like the campy. I like the serious horror, too, but I like the campy stuff, too. I mean, you can only keep it serious for so long before you have to start, you know, things get a little ridiculous.
Yeah, and sometimes when they're trying to be serious, it's not so serious anyway, and so they might as well get campy.
Yeah, they might as well have fun with it. As long as the audience is having fun, that's all that matters.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, I was telling my last guest about this movie I was watching, and it was good. The acting was good. The cinematography was good. Directing, just about everything, the music, everything was good, except when it got to the part to see the quote-unquote monster. It was, and I kid you not, a sock puppet.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and you could actually see the person's knuckles moving their fingers, and it was supposed to be a mouth. Yeah, you could see the knuckles and everything, yeah. And I was like, oh, Because it wasn't supposed to be funny. It was very serious all the way through.
Oh, my God. That's so strange. I mean, I would get it if it was part of a joke, but if it was supposed to be serious.
Yeah, it was supposed to be serious, and that's actually what made it funnier, because as you know,
yeah.
if they expect it to be serious and it ends up being funny, that's even funnier.
Oh, most definitely. Like, that's why The Room and Birdemic and movies like that got such notoriety.
Yeah. Did you ever see a movie called Teen Alien?
No, I haven't actually.
One of these days when you have nothing else to watch and if you can find it, because it's kind of hard to find. Oh, it's hilarious. It wasn't supposed to be. It's supposed to be very serious. But it's about some guy, well, it's supposed to be a kid, that he's really an alien. Yeah. Yeah, he's supposed to be an alien in disguise going to high school. And, you know, 30-year-old going to high school. Anyway.
There's a lot of movies like that.
Yeah. So they're going to have this Halloween party, and so they're all supposed to dress up. So he decides, since he's an alien, he doesn't need a costume. He'll just go as himself. And he does.
The plot itself is ridiculous.
Oh, there's lots of other stuff that goes on. It's like, at first you're going, oh, man, is this dumb? And then afterwards you're just laughing your head off. At least everybody that I know that's ever seen it has said the same thing. 'Cause they say the word spooky like 1,000 times during the movie. Oh, that's spooky. Ooh, that's spooky. Oh, that's real spooky.
So you could make a drinking game out of that.
Yeah.
Probably not survive.
And then Carl, now, I don't know if you've ever watched The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. I watched the first two seasons.
Well, then you remember how they made fun of how Rick would always... Carl, whenever he was calling for Carl. Well, in this movie, everybody keeps calling Carl's name. At like every 5 seconds, somebody's going, Carl. That would be a really good drinking game.
Oh, this is a hard sell for me.
I didn't mean to take away from your time, but
oh no, I enjoy listening to that. I mean, I love terrible movies, so like that sounds right up my alley.
Oh, you'd probably love it. And
it sounds up my alley.
Here's one it probably is too, and a lot of people haven't seen it. Well, because it's hard to find, and it's an indie movie, and it's called. It's not PC correct, but it's hilarious. It's called Retar Dead.
Oh, yeah, that's from the directors of Monsterd, which is about a killer lump of shit. To be blunt about it, but that's what it's about. But actually, Retar Dead is a lot better than I think most people would expect. It's actually really funny, in my opinion.
Yeah, oh, I loved it. It was hilarious, and it was supposed to be, but it was so funny. And the song alone, people that haven't seen it, I told them the song alone will get you into that movie. You know, retarded.
Oh, yeah.
If you watch this movie, you are retarded.
I think it's that movie where they have, like, drive-in ads at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
And they have something, like, where they talk about coffee, and they're like, if you want something hot and black, and you want something hot and black inside you, we have coffee. And that was always really something funny to me. That always stuck out. Like, it's a funny movie. It's, again, better than most people would expect.
Yeah. I've gotten a lot of people to watch that, and they were always – I haven't heard one person complain about it. They all loved it.
Yeah, because it's tongue-in-cheek. It's not like I don't really find it that offensive or anything. It's exactly, it knows what it is. It's fun.
Yeah,
it's
well,
funny.
You know how some people are. They just get offended by anything and everything. Or they're not even offended. They think that other people are getting offended. I mean, I don't want to go off too much, but did you ever see the movie Shallow Hal?
Not since it came out, so. But yes.
But you've seen it. Okay,
yeah.
Well, I'm a big woman myself. And mm-hmm. I watched that movie, and I laughed through the whole thing because it was so ridiculous that it was funny.
Yeah.
Because, Gwyneth Paltrow is playing the part of this big woman, and so you know what she really looks like, but everybody else, or not everybody else, Everybody else is seeing her as this big woman, and Hal is seeing her as Gwyneth Paltrow. And so you can't help but laugh because this skinny little woman sits on the thing and it goes up in the air. Like, how can you not laugh at that?
Exactly.
And I'm a big woman. Yeah, and I'm a big woman, and I wasn't offended by that, but yet there were people saying, oh, that's offensive to people that have extra weight.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's not.
Exactly.
Because
I think a lot of people can find offense in things that don't even deal with them.
Well,
they're like looking out for other people. Some of those people aren't offended. I don't know if that makes sense.
Right. I mean, at the very least, ask those people first before you decide for them what they're going to get offended by.
Exactly.
Because every heavy person that I know that watched that movie thought the movie was hilarious.
And it had a nice message, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah, it does. Because the point of the movie is that you can't tell what somebody is like on the outside, on the
exactly.
inside, from what you see on the outside. And that's why you shouldn't judge them by what you see on the outside.
Exactly.
And
that's what I remember about it. But people can't see past whatever.
Right. And so, spoiler for whoever might be listening, so that they don't listen to this part. At the very end, when he sees what she really looks like, that she doesn't look like Gwyneth Paltrow, and she looks the way she really looks, he looks at her and says, "Oh my God, you're beautiful."
Yeah.
I mean, that was the whole point of the movie, that he saw her for who she really was, not for what she looked like on the outside. He could see her soul.
Exactly. And that's an important
message
that people should listen to, even especially now.
Especially now. Okay. Now that I've killed like 10 minutes of your time. But you said you enjoy talking about movies.
I do. I very much do.
And so do I, because I am a movie reviewer. I don't know if you knew that or not. But
oh, no, actually.
Semi-professional. I do get contracted sometimes to write reviews, and people aren't always pleased with what I say. But I'm not one that's harsh. I don't trash movies, even if I don't like them. I have never, I shouldn't say never, there was one time, but almost never have I not been able to find something, at least one thing, that was good in the movie, like, say, the music or the special effects or at least one scene in it or something. And that's what I center on, all the good stuff that I find in it. And then I'll just say, like if I have to mention the other stuff because they ask me to, then I'll say, well, I didn't like this, but if other people like this, then you'll love that movie. Because it's all just an opinion anyway, so.
Yeah, everyone, that's the thing about movies. One person can find a movie to be absolutely terrible, the next person can find it to be an outstanding masterpiece, and it's amazing. I mean, same thing with music and, well, any type of art. I mean, it's very subjective and anyone can look at it differently. And that's something I definitely love about film and art. in general.
Oh, yeah, I've seen plenty of movies that were supposed to be really, really great, and I watched them and thought, oh, man, I don't know where they got the idea. This movie was great. This thing is bad. And then
oh, it happens
opposite.
All the time.
Yeah, and then the opposite, too, that you hear that these movies are bad, and then you watch them and you're like, I don't know what those people are talking about. This thing is good.
Exactly.
So that's the thing, is especially with most critics, myself not included, because I make sure that I say, this is my opinion, and then I'll say
yeah.
what I think of the movie. But other ones, they basically just say what they think people want to hear, or they fast forward through it and they don't watch it, and you can tell if you've seen the movie. You can tell by reading
yeah.
their review that they haven't even watched
yeah.
it. I don't do that. If somebody's paying me to watch a movie, I pay it. I mean, excuse me,
of
I
course.
Watch it.
I know what you meant.
Yeah, even if I'm bored to tears, which I have been quite a few
oh,
times.
Oh, I'm sure.
but I always watch them. We can get into your movies in just a minute, but I did want to ask you I want you to tell us about Necro Shark films.
Yes. Well, yeah, Necro Shark films is something I guess kind of formed, what was it? Maybe 3-4? I would say 3 years ago now. So I was going to do this movie, short film, called Bathtub Shark Attack, and it never happened. But I kind of formed Necro Shark. I came up with that as my production name. And after that kind of fell apart, we shot Spirit Animal. So that was our first Necro Shark Films movie. And, I mean, we have more stuff planned, including finally making Bathtub Shark Attack. But, yeah, so, I mean, the name of the company, I love sharks. And, the German, Jörg Buchreit, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Movie Necromantic is one of my favorite movies, so I just thought it sounded cool, so I kind of put it together.
Yeah, it does. I like the name.
Thank you.
And of course,
appreciate it.
And of course, I like sharks too. So.
Oh, I love
shark movies.
They're my favorite movies. So.
Well, speaking of that, do you have an absolute favorite shark film that you love above all others, or not?
I mean, I want to say the whole Sharknado franchise, because
mm-hmm.
ever since the first Sharknado came out, I have had a Sharknado-themed birthday party every year, except this year because of everything going on. I just didn't think, you know, so I'm going to have a bigger one next year. But I loved sharks when I was a kid, but for a while I was just kind of whatever. I mean, you know, I liked them, but I wasn't like, huge into them. And then Sharknado came out and it kind of brought all those feelings when I was a kid back, because I love Jaws and all that stuff. I used to joke with my uncle about Jaws, like Jaws is coming for you, and do the music bum 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 bum, but you know. So, and the whole resurgence into ridiculous shark movies just really got me back into it. So, and I think Sharknado 2 is probably the best one, but I flip-flop between 2 and 3. But, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much the same, because I actually like all of them myself. I like
yeah,
them all.
Yeah,
I
love
think
them all.
2 and 3.
4 is my least favorite, but 2 and 3 are the, like, golden ones. The first 3 are the best, and then 4 is okay. 5 and 6 are fun.
Yeah, yeah. I feel about the same, too. Did
yeah.
you ever see Ghost Shark?
I love Ghost Shark. We actually, so I have a podcast called Shitty Shark Show. And, well, Ghost Shark is, I guess, going to be our review next Thursday. But that's our next one. And I love Ghost Shark. I think it's a really fun flick. I love that it manifests in water and everything. It's got a really cool story. It's got some really inventive kills, like when he's drinking the water and... spoiler alert, like, he just like splits in half. The shark comes out, but like the kid going down to water slide and right into the shark's mouth is my favorite part. It's just,
yeah.
It's a really fun movie. And like, it doesn't matter that, you know, it's cheap and made for Sci-Fi Channel, because the shark, it's a ghost shark. It doesn't matter if it looks fake. It's a ghost shark. It's genius.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, first of all, you have to believe that there's such a thing as ghosts. And then, I mean, the whole idea is ridiculous anyway, but that's what makes it so fun.
Exactly. I have a blast with that one. I really enjoy it.
It's like, I can't believe the things that people will argue about. Like, going back to Freddy versus Jason, I remember them saying, having arguments, a whole bunch of people having arguments about who would win. I'm like, number one, nobody's going to win because neither one of them really exist. Because by that time, Jason was already in hell, so he doesn't exist anymore. And Freddy doesn't exist either, except in people's dreams. So, yeah, nobody's going to win. They're both going to come out of it, and they're both going to come back and do whatever it is that they're doing because they
exactly.
don't even exist.
And you always know the humans are going to win in the long run, though.
Yeah. So,
people got so caught
up
in all that.
Well, yeah. Well, people are just ridiculous. And
I know.
And actually, that's why that tagline and it actually is my most favorite tagline of all time from Alien versus Predator.
Whoever
no
wins,
who we
lose.
We lose.
I love that one, too, actually, the tagline. The movie was okay. The tagline is amazing.
Yeah. I liked the movie, too. But the tagline was the best part.
No, I definitely agree.
Because it's actually true. Even though at least the Predator does have, you know, some scruples, and he or she, because you never know whether they're male or female.
Exactly.
But the Predators at least care about life. Like in that one, when they found out the woman was pregnant, they let her go.
And the aliens don't care who or what you are. They just want to...
they just want to propagate their species. That's all they care about.
Yep.
And they'll kill you in the process. They couldn't care less. The Predators are more like what you would see like... in Africa with the people going out and the hunters and the tribal things, because they still have a lot of those tribal people that will go out and they'll hunt because they are rejecting the so-called civilized society. And it happens all over the world, not just in Africa, but I just use that as an example.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of how they play the Predators. Like, they're a hunter like what we have here on Earth. The only problem with it is we're the ones that they're hunting.
Yeah.
We're the deer. Now, in 20... You don't have to talk about this one much because I know it's just like a short little thing that you did and you were the dolly grip, but... I just picked it. Yeah, the game. Because, it was the first thing that they have on IMDb.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
it was, a short film that we did in film school. It was my first, I guess it was my first, semester there. And it was directed by Robert Tennell, who was a teacher of mine in film school. And he produced a movie called Surf Nazis Must Die for Trauma, if anyone's familiar with that, if you're familiar with that.
Oh, I am.
That's awesome. I mean, it's a great movie. I was a fan of it before I went, so. And it was just like a little sure, I haven't seen it in years since I was at film school. I don't know if it ever was released, but short thing about a football game. So I remember I don't remember where we filmed it. I wanna say somewhere in West Virginia. So that was my first time using like a real dolly with the track and everything. So that was it was pretty cool. It was a fun time. And I remember we shot it somewhere around Thanksgiving, so it must have been November. So, 'cause some of the other classmates said, don't make any plans for November, but I can't do the Boston accent and I won't try, 'cause that's what it was. So, yeah, so that, I mean, it was a good first experience, 'cause I think that was like the first kind of, real film set I was on.
Oh, well, excuse me. Well, that's good that it was a good experience for you, and that nobody gave you any trouble. And yeah, 'cause
Oh, yeah.
I hate to hear that people have bad experiences.
Oh, my God,
excuse me.
yeah. And it can happen easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, when I was in film school, because this is not on my IMDb, I worked on this movie called, it was at the time called Cut, but it was released as The Family on DVD. It's not a very good movie. No offense. But Tony Todd, Kane Hodder, and Michael Berryman were in it. And I mean, everyone there was super cool. That was one of my also first experiences. I went up there. I just wanna Yeah, that was at oh God, where? Moundsville in West Virginia at the Moundsville Prison. They like it's supposed to be one of the most haunted prisons. So
Yeah.
that was a really great experience, like the gaffer and everything there. Everyone was so nice and like very welcoming. So I was super nervous going because I, at the time, I really didn't know anything, and I was like a PA and I didn't have a car. Because my friend who rode me down, he had a car and he was like driving people to and from set and stuff, and I was there as like getting sandwiches for people. But that was a great experience too. So.
Good.
But I know that's not on my IMDb, so.
Oh no, that's great because I know that IMDb doesn't always have everything, and sometimes they have stuff that
Yeah.
people didn't even do.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think I'm in the credits either, and I'm not upset about it. It was a great experience again. I like to talk about it because it was like the first real, other than the game, the real film set I was on. So, great experience.
Oh, cool. And plus, you got to work with people that really know what they're doing.
Exactly. So it was a good introduction to everything.
I'm going to skip a couple of these because I want you to be able to talk about the spirit animal. Not that there's not plenty of time. We still have a half an hour.
Yeah.
But I'm going to skip some, and if we have time, then I'll go back to them. But I
Okay.
want to skip. I want to skip to Breeding Farm that you wrote, you produced, and you acted in it. So tell us about that one.
Yeah. Oh, that was definitely an interesting experience. I met Cody working on Lucifer's Unholy Desire. I did sound work for him. My friend from our film school, who Joe Ruscio, he was also the DP for Spirit Animal, among other things. I'll talk about that later. So he was like the DP and editor for Breeding Farm. That was an experience for me. I mean, that was kind of like the first time I really, for independent film, had a lot of problems with the actors and stuff. It's not my favorite movie I've worked on. I mean, I wrote this, I co-wrote the script, and I wasn't extremely happy with the way the movie turned out. I mean, I'm more proud of it now than I was back then, but. And Troma released it, but there's a problem with contracts and stuff, so the movie's basically been shelved for many years, not know if it'll ever be released again. But I mean, I learned a lot from Breeding Farm. I learned a lot. So I can say that. But I mean, we put together a decent movie that I've talked to a few people who I've enjoyed. I'm writing the script was challenging. It was based on an idea from Cody. So I had fun. I like writing, so yeah.
Is that like your favorite thing to do? Because I know I see that you've worn a few hats in filmmaking. Is writing your favorite one?
I like writing, I think, the best. Writing and producing. I like to put things together, in producing aspect, and I like to get creative, and I get excited when I write and come up with more ideas and really start to put it together, and when the pages start rolling, I like to write. So that's probably my favorite. Yeah.
Well, I want to go ahead and skip ahead to Spirit Animal, and then we can go back to other ones. But I wanted to make sure that you had plenty of time to talk about it because we've got something like 28 minutes, so you've got 28 minutes that you could talk about it. And you were
Oh,
the
yeah.
wow, you did a lot. You were the director, writer, producer. You acted in it. Wow. So
So,
go ahead and talk about Spirit Animal.
like I said, after kind of Bathtub Shark Attack kind of fell apart, I really just wanted to do a slasher movie. And I wanted to shoot it on video because I'm a huge fan of SOV stuff. Like, I'm very inspired by, video violence and Killer Nerd and Cannibal Camp Out and all that stuff. So I wrote this page, or this page, I wrote the script. It was about 60 pages. And I was like, this will be like a 70-minute movie. It's, whatever. It's just a fun slasher movie. And I thought that we could just kind of make it for fun, but for profit too. And, so I met up with Joe, who was again the DP for Breeding Farm. I met him in film school, so I've known him a while. He's amazing. I showed him the script, and he seemed to like it. And as we started filming, the script changed from a 60-page script to like a 84-minute movie. We added a bunch of stuff, took stuff out, and I bought this VHS camera, and when you press the date time, it says 1992. So, I mean, it's legit. You put a whole VHS tape in it. I bought it from someone on Craigslist, and it gave me the look I wanted. And I contacted friends and stuff, and our first day of filming was what, March 2nd, 2019? So we're in 2020, yeah, 2019. Our first day of filming, and I'm not gonna say it was a disaster, but it was cut short, and we had to do more planning and stuff. And with everyone's schedules, everyone's working for free, everyone's amazing. It took longer to get done than I wanted, but I'm so happy with the finished product. I mean, I learned again, learned a lot from about filmmaking from making my first film. Everything was kind of like homemade gore and everything. All my actors were amazing, especially Jennifer Louise, who plays the lead. She's been a friend of mine for nearly 10 years, and we always said we'd make a movie together, and we finally did it. And yeah, I couldn't be happier with the product.
Oh, well,
Yeah.
yeah, that's always good to hear that people are happy with their films that they do. I mean, I know I can't always be happy with the product, but
Yeah.
when it happens, it's always a nice thing. So why don't
Oh,
you tell
yeah.
people where they can get a copy of it?
Well, yeah, you can look up our, first off, my Facebook, Madeline Deering, or you can look up the Spirit Animal Movie Facebook page, and just contact us for a copy, because I haven't set up like a store or anything I'd like to in the future, but I put together nice DVDs and VHS for the release. And the DVDs actually come with a Smell-O-Vision card. So there's six different smells to smell throughout the movie. So I'm kind of channeling John Waters, who is an inspiration of mine. I love John Waters and polyester. So,
Yeah.
and there's also a drinking game with the movie. I wanted to make it very interactive. I just wanted, people watch movies with their friends at home and they're on their phones, whatever. Like, I want to bring people together and like make them have fun and like make the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
I don't
what you
know.
mean.
I love movie gimmicks like that. And the movie, if you've ever seen Popcorn from, I believe, 91.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of my all-time favorite movies. And they have all those like all-night movie pass with gimmicks and stuff. I love that stuff, and I wanted to do something to make the movie stand out, so I got small vision cards made, so they come with a DVD. And when I did the trailer, I think people thought I was joking, and I'm like, if I announce a gimmick, I'm not joking. It will happen one way or the other.
I love gimmick movies. Ones that have gimmicks. Well, like the old Vincent Price movie, The Tingler.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I've seen it, but I didn't see it with the gimmick, obviously.
Yeah,
I know.
It's too bad because now, well, it was, you know, a little bit before my time, too. I'm 60, but, you know, that was still a little bit before my time. But, excuse me, they re-released things in the theaters. And so they had that at one of the midnight theaters that plays old movies. Yeah, and
yeah.
We went in there, and they had it set up so that you would get the tingling in your seat.
That's
just
amazing.
Just like they did in the old days.
I've always loved that type of stuff. That's like going the extra mile to really make your movie more memorable. Your movie can already be amazing, but I don't know. I love to go that extra mile and just really make it that type of experience.
Yeah. I don't know why more people don't do it, especially in the indie film
either.
Business. Yeah, you want
yeah.
to give...
You got to make your movie stand out.
Yeah. Especially since with the indie film business, there's so many movies out there.
Yep.
You need something.
Exactly.
So I know the reception has been really well for Spirit Animal. People,
yeah.
I haven't heard anything bad about it. So
I haven't either.
Ooh,
and well, it definitely makes me feel excited, but it also makes me nervous, like, for whatever we do next, which, again, we are doing, like, Bathtub Shark Attack next with it, which is going to be in Splashovision, which I'll let you figure that out for yourself, but it's going to be a real gimmick. We talked about it, so.
Yeah,
that's exciting. And, you know, I've been turning the short film into a feature script. We've come up with ideas to lengthen it, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. But, yeah, it's nervous to, like, you know, keep up with those expectations from your first movie because everyone's like, oh, I can't wait to see what you do next. And you're like, oh, man, here we go. But I'm happy people are enjoying it because we put our hearts and souls into it.
Well, yeah, and I know that people do that, and no matter how much money you're spending on it or, you know, not spending on it, because not everybody even has a budget at all.
Yeah.
And when I do my ratings, I give an automatic one for it because I use a five-star system. And
yeah.
The filmmaker automatically gets a one just for the effort of making the film.
Exactly.
And then,
that's how it should be.
Yeah, and then everything else gets added on, and I use partial stars. So anything that's good about it, it gets added on and added on until you get, you know, higher. And the last time I had to do a war movie, which in general terms, I don't care for war movies. I gave this movie, it was a friend's movie, and he knew that I was going to be not brutal, but he knew I was going to be honest about it because he's known me for years. And
yeah.
I said, now, you know, I'm honest. So unless you really want me to review it, don't ask me to, because I might say something you don't like. And he said, no, I really want to hear what you think. So then I did, and I told him, and I told him all the good stuff, like what I had said earlier. I told him all the good stuff that I liked about it. And then he said, well, was there something specific that you didn't like about it? And I said, no, not really specific. It's just that I don't like war movies. So that laid into it a little bit that I just couldn't see myself giving it a higher rating because I liked the film. It was good. The acting was good and the special effects were good and all that stuff was good. However, I just don't like the idea of a war film, and I never have. But I did give it 3.5 stars, though. And what was interesting was he was really elated with that because he had had so many haters, and I'm sure that you've seen that you go on
IMDb.
Oh, they're
always haters.
Yeah, and they give these, and a lot of times I think they don't even watch them. And, well, sometimes I know they haven't watched them. But they'll give them a 1 or something just to bring the rating down. And that's what had been happening with his film, this war film, that everybody was giving it a low rating. And now on my scale, I gave it the 3.5. Now, I have to, if I'm doing IMDb, though, I have to do it according to theirs because they use it a 10-star scale. So it just depends on how you look at it. It can look a little bit better or a little bit worse. But 3.5 works out to about 7 stars on IMDb, which actually is good for a film that I really don't care that much for. And that's what he was thinking because he had so many people that gave it a 1 that the rating for it had come way down. And he was
We had someone vote a 1 for Spirit Animal. I mean, I haven't heard anything bad. I mean, if someone had something bad to say, I wish they'd... Well, I'd like constructive criticism. So I don't know if it was a hater or who knows. It's also a good rating, but it happens a lot that people, their haters just want to rate low for some reason.
Well, a lot of people like to just bring the ratings down, and they like to bring people down, and it's like that's their goal in life is to bring people down.
Yeah, and I don't get that.
Yeah, well, me either, and especially since you don't even know the person. What possible satisfaction could you get out of it when you don't even know the person?
Exactly.
Unless some of these people probably do know the people, and then that's really nasty if you know the person.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee you that happens a lot.
Yeah. I mean, if it was somebody that I knew that made the film, now, I haven't seen your Spirit Animal, so I'm just, given a for instance, say if I watched Spirit Animal and I thought that it was terrible, I wouldn't write a review on IMDb saying that I thought it was terrible because that's not even a review. A review is saying the things about it, like what I said, it had good special effects or it had good acting or good music or something. Because I haven't even seen your movie, and I can almost guarantee you that there will be at least 4 to 5 things that I will be able to like in it, even if I don't like the movie. And that's without seeing it.
Of course.
But from what I've heard from other people that have seen it, I think that I would probably give it at least a 3. I don't know. I would have to see it first, so. I can't really say.
We'll have to send you a copy.
Review. Let's see. Did you want to say anything else about Spirit Animal?
Just that, I'm very proud of the product and the people involved. And we had Toby Radloff. He played the voice of the tree because there's a killer tree in the movie. And Toby Radloff was a hero of mine. I mean, he still is. He was in a movie called Killer Nerd, which I talked about at the beginning of this. And I been a fan of his and killer nerd for many years. And when I made Joe watch a bunch of SOV movies because like the blood and gore effects, I was like, I want it to be like Cannibal Campout or Splatter Farm or Killer Nerd. I wanted this head explosion to be like Killer Nerd. I made him watch it, and Joe was like, well, why don't we contact Toby to be the voice of this tree? And I was like, okay. So I contacted him. Toby was so cool about it. He was signed the contract right away, sent me voice clips through Facebook, that we used for the tree, and like, boom, that was our big star. And yeah, Toby's awesome. He came out for the premiere. We had our world premiere March 13th, right before everything shut down. It was amazing. And, again, the audience reaction was really good. People really enjoyed what we made. So that definitely still means a lot to me.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna. I don't want to cut you off if you were gonna say something else.
No, it was done.
Oh, okay. Well, sometimes on Blog Talk Radio, there's like a overlap or a blip or whatever you want to call it, and sometimes I can't even
Yeah.
tell if the person is still talking or not. So I'm gonna go back a little backwards a little bit now to
Yeah.
2015 with Gore Orphanage. You acted in that one, executive in charge of casting, sound editor,
Yeah, I
and
worked on
whatever
that
else
with
you mentioned.
yeah, Cody was the one who did Breeding Farm. So Gore Orphanage, well, his wife Emily directed that. I was only on set I think for like 2 days, and all I really do is like have my head in the toilet because I've been poisoned. So I mean,
Oh.
it was a good experience for the most part, and they did a lot of work like with the wardrobe and everything, because it took place in what, the 50s, 60s. So the house they used and everything was really cool, and yeah, so it was a good experience.
Oh, good. Good to hear.
Yeah.
Now this the next one I was going to, because I'm going back again, going backwards in
Yeah.
time. But I have a couple of wrestler friends, and one even has his own wrestling school. So I hope he gets
Yeah.
to hear about this one. Pro wrestlers versus zombies. I just
Oh,
love the
yes.
title.
It's a fun movie. I mean, and that's again, same director, Cody directed that. And I think that's Cody's best and most fun movie. Unfortunately, when I was on set, I got like a stomach flu and I was out for like a week. So I was only on for like, I was only helping out for a few days. I got so sick.
Oh.
But like Roddy Piper, Matt Hardy, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, they were all on set. And I'm not a big wrestling fan, but I mean, I knew Roddy Piper from They Live and Hell Comes to Frogtown. So it was really cool to work
Right.
with him. And he was super cool. We got to all have dinner together and stuff. And I mean, that's a fun movie. And I had a lot of fun with what I could work on it. We filmed that in, somewhere in West Virginia. Blennerhassett Hotel, I think was the name of the hotel, but Parkersburg, West Virginia. Yeah, that's where it was, Parkersburg. Yeah, that was a blast. I wish I got to work on it more. The DP of Director of Photography of Spirit Animal, Joseph Brusio, again, very talented guy, amazing. He was the director of photography for pro wrestlers as well. Very fun time. And that was a movie that they had been developing a while, and Troma put it out. So, I mean, it is available on Blu-ray, and I think it's streaming on Amazon Prime as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
Yeah.
that sounds like one that I would want
Yeah,
to watch.
it's fun, and I think the gore and like the story, everything is really fun. Shane Douglas is in it as well, and he's a friend of Cody's from college, so he lives somewhere around here in Pittsburgh. So a lot of
Oh, that's
fun.
cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they put in and they brought Kurt Angle too, who is from Pittsburgh as well, for like a short appearance, and his scene's very fun and memorable. The whole movie Yeah, it's a fun flick and it's got great music. I think one of my favorite things about that movie is like the music he found. Like he found some really cool bands to do some really cool original music for it.
Yeah, I love listening to the different music in movies, and
Yeah.
I always include that in my reviews, music and sound, because a lot of people
Yeah.
think that that's, the same thing, and it's not.
No, not at all. Sound
It's
is
not
very
even close.
difficult to get right. And I did sound work for a long time. I did it on Lucifer's Only Desire, and I helped out with Pro Wrestlers. And there's some sound work for Spirit Animal I'm not entirely happy with, but, what are you going to do? But, if sound's bad, you notice. If it's good, you don't notice. That's kind of how it is. And music is.
Right.
Yeah, music's very important. And I worked with Matt Cannon on Spirit Animal. He did this score in like 5 days. And he's so amazing. And the score
He
for
is.
Spirit Animal is just incredible in every way. And I wouldn't even recommend anyone else to work with because he's just that amazing to me.
Aw.
Yeah.
Well, he is. He does excellent work. And when
Yeah.
he was on the show, I told him that, of the work that I've heard of his is excellent. I can't say enough good things about it. So
Yeah,
I agree with
definitely.
him on that. So since you mentioned it anyway, if you just want to say a couple more words about Lucifer's Unholy Desire, you
Yeah.
can.
Yeah, that was right out of film school. They called me maybe a few months later and they said someone was looking for a sound person and I went and worked on the set and then their director of photography didn't work out, so I brought Joe aboard and him and I worked with Cody for like 3, 4 movies after, so and it was a very good indie experience. I made friends and stuff and I kinda didn't, exactly know what they were doing, but they were learning just like I was. So kinda all learned together and we put together a pretty decent movie, I think. Andrew Roth was in it and he was great. He was a great actor. I mean he really like w he was there for like 5 days and he's one of the main characters and like the days he was there everything just went really smooth and quick. He just kind of brought it all together. So I think the movie as a whole turned out pretty good. And it was a good
Cool.
experience, it was.
Good. And what
Yeah.
about the same year, I think, Requiem for the Damned. What about that one?
Oh, well, that was something we did in film school. It was like an anthology on Edgar Allan Poe stories. And the one I
Oh.
worked on was what? I worked on one of the short stories, and I did sound work for it and stuff. I know I was on set too, but yeah. And not my favorite, but only one of the
Oh.
stories in the anthology I really like. Sorry if they're listening, but Telltale Heart was my favorite. The one I worked on was, I can't remember. But it's okay. It
If
was
you're
a,
curious, I
again,
can
it was
tell
a
you.
decent experience.
If you're curious in knowing, I can tell you which one it was.
Oh
It's
yeah, tell me.
the Murders in the Rue Morgue.
Yeah, I think it was. That was one of the gorilla.
Yeah.
Yeah, the gorilla one. That was the one I worked on. So I Joe and I did sound work on that and yeah. I think a lot of things changed. It wasn't really anyone's fault. It's just and everyone was in film school. You learn, you get better.
Right. Yeah, I
So
mean, how can you get any better if you don't get it a little experience and
exactly.
practice? Yeah.
Exactly, that's for sure.
Let's see. We're getting a little low on time, but I think we have time to go over one more. A newer one, Captain Happy Son, and you
Oh
acted in that.
yeah. That was another one that we filmed in film school. And that movie, it's on Amazon Prime right now. That movie, I played like the captain of the ship. I played like four different roles. And or first mate, I guess I was, but I become the captain. It's very like Adult Swim type of humor and stuff. Aaron Moore, the director of it, he's a great guy. Enjoyed working with him. He's directed some other projects since, and he's still working a lot. But that was his baby. And it was a lot of fun to work on. They did a lot of reshoots and stuff, and it took almost like 10 years to complete, but worth the wait and everything. It's a fun movie. A lot of it was on green screen. Like I was in this pirate ship underneath for however many hours and stuff. Pretty much everyone in the film school was a part of it, so it was nice to see it all come together. Aaron's a talented guy. So it that was a great that was another really fun experience with all of my classmates.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Let me see. We're down to, well, we got less than 4 minutes. So if you just make it kind of short, not that you haven't made the other one short, but Without Your Head, that TV series,
Oh yeah.
if you could just talk about that for a couple minutes if you want to.
Yeah, well, Spirit Animal played on Neil Jones was the host, and he did a Q&A for Without Your Head, and meet myself, Toby Radlock, Jennifer Louise, the amazing lead actress, Joseph Ruscio, Keith Monahan, who I want to give a shout out to. He's plays Timmy, who's one of my favorite characters in Spirit Animal. We were all there for like it was Q&A after the screening, so that was a lot of fun. Neil Jones is like an awesome host,
Oh.
so it's on YouTube to view, but I know there's spoilers in there, but that was fun. We were part of a double feature, and he did a Q&A with us after through Zoom, and yeah, it was awesome. So I'd like to put that on the Blu-ray whenever we release a Blu-ray.
I think that would be cool. I like
Yeah.
those Q&As. I mean, 'cause you don't always get to see them when they're first on, or like the ones that do these ones at these conventions. If you don't go to the conventions, you don't hear them unless you see them on the tape.
Exactly. Exactly. They're always fun to
Yeah.
watch. And we're doing an
Right.
online one for It's like Quarantine. It's like quarantine, but Halloween. I think
Right.
that's going to be November, sometime in November. The Spirit Animal is going to have like a Q&A for that. So, we're still trying to do the Q&As and stuff. They're always fun to do.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, we're down to our last less than 2 minutes. So usually
Okay.
I ask the guest to let people know the best way to contact them.
Yeah, well, Facebook definitely. I'm Madeline Deering on Facebook, or look up our Spirit Animal movie page on Facebook, or the Necro Shark page. We got lots of stuff coming up. We have a movie Joseph Ruscio is directing called Beyond Dark Dreams that's hopefully going to be out in the next year. Bathtub Shark Attack. I have other projects lined up, hopefully. So, yeah, Facebook's definitely the best way.
Okay. Oh,
Everyone's
cool.
on Facebook.
Yeah, just about. So
Yeah.
we're down to like the last minute. Is there anything that you want to say in closing?
No, just thanks to everyone for listening, and I hope people can check out Spirit Animal, and I think we're gonna do a live screening on New Year's Eve, so you can look out for that, like our Facebook page, because Spirit Animal takes place on New Year's. So like our Facebook page and look for notifications and stuff. And yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for being on. And for
Yeah.
everyone that's listening, this has been Mac with Mac's Musings, and my guest has been Madeline Deering. Please
That's
check
me.
out her latest film, Spirit Animal. So, Madeline, have a good
yes.
night, and please stay safe. And so I'll just close out the show and say goodbye.
All right. Goodbye. Thank you again.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye.